everyone, and welcome to Empowering Homeschool Conversations. We're so glad that you are with us on another episode. We are kicking off a new topic, and it happens to be, well, a combination of topics. We're talking about dyslexia, dysgraphia, dyscalculia, and kind of things that go in the mix with that. And why I say that is because tonight we're talking about literacy, and literacy especially with teens and young adults. And so when you think of reading problems, oftentimes we just, a lot of parents nowadays just want to say, well, maybe they have a touch of dyslexia or all this. Well, we want to kind of broaden that scope, that there's a lot of children that struggle with reading and literacy. And our expert tonight is Dr. Maria Cleary. Welcome, Maria. Thank you for being with us tonight.
Oh, it's my great pleasure, Peggy. Thank you for having me.
Sure. I am very, very excited with what you have to share with our audience this evening. And I just want all of you to know that if you are joining us live, you have the ability to make comments in the feed. Now, I have an additional thing to add. If you are watching on our new Empowered Homeschool Network, and you have the link to the YouTube video, if you want to make comments, you're going to have to click to watch on YouTube instead of just watching on the Empowered Homeschool Network. If you don't know what the Empowered Homeschool Network, I want you to check that out. If you go to empoweredhomeschool.org, that is our new community where you can join a group and interact with other Fed homeschool community members, as well as our team. And then we even have a coaching mentoring group that just launched today that that you can sign up for. So anyways, I'll share a little bit more about that as we wrap up later and some other great things happening here at Sped Homeschool. But Maria, as we kick off, I would just love for our audience to get to know you a little better. But I do have to remember, this is something I can't forget, is that I want to thank Right Shop for sponsoring this episode of Empowering Homeschool Conversations. And we're going to learn more about them about halfway through the show. But if you're curious, you can check out ahead of time and visit rightshop.com. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Maria, and why are you so passionate about this topic?
Well, I wear a number of hats, Peggy. Mm-hmm. I am an interim school administrator, but I am also the parent of a special needs young adult. Mm-hmm. And the reason I got involved in this whole topic of literacy and the current project on which I'm working is that my daughter, who's an adopted child, she came to us from Bulgaria when she was 3 years old.
Oh, okay.
And we didn't know that she had special needs at that time, but it became apparent to us, and we did our best with her in regular school. Yeah. In fact, she was in regular school, classified until she was in the eighth grade. But we noticed that once she hit around middle school, she pretty much stopped wanting to read.
Oh.
And it got to the point where it became a negative experience for her.
Mm.
And when I would ask her why she didn't want to read, she would say to me, "Reading makes my brain hurt." I could tell when she was looking at the books and the way she scrunched up her face.
That
she was telling the truth.
Yeah.
And in eighth grade, she moved on to a special education school, and she was there till she was 21. And there was a lot of emphasis on some academic subjects, but honestly, the reading fell by the wayside. And the older she got, the more the concentration was on getting her ready for some kind of career than was for reading, which is ironic because what bosses complain about the most when potential employees come to them is that their reading skills aren't what they should be. So if we're going to prepare our students for careers, I think the first thing we need to do is make sure they can read the job applications, which many of them can't, or the manuals that tell them how to do the job. Mm-hmm. So when backing up a bit, when she sort of stopped reading, I took a look at what was making her find reading such a negative experience. And it was a couple of things. Yeah. Well, the first thing is that she ran out of books that had pictures in them. And I think that people with special education children will know this, that special education young people have a very difficult time forming word pictures in their minds. To just read words the way we normally read is we read the girl went into the house and then she got a dog and then she took the dog down the street. We can picture the girl and the house and the dog and the lawn and whatever else is in the story. Right. Special needs kids cannot do that. Mm. They cannot make pictures out of abstractions. And so without pictures, it became very, very difficult for her to understand the books.
Right.
Also, what happened was the books that were age appropriate were just simply too difficult for her. The vocabulary was too hard. The sentence structure was too challenging. It required way too much critical thinking for her to really follow the story. So consequently, if there's nothing to read, she wasn't reading.
Yeah.
So I thought to myself, I felt called to try to do something about this. And what I did was, and this goes back 7 years ago, I created a beta version of a book that was targeted specifically at my daughter's age group of young adults. And this is this book is for adolescents through young adults. And it's an ebook, it's a digital book, because we find that these students really are attracted to books on the computer or any products on the computer.
Yeah.
And it's illustrated, it's animated, it has checks for understanding to help them to go back and remind themselves about what they read. Mm-hmm. And we went out and we put it out and tested it. And the test results were remarkable. And so since then, what we've been trying to do is to build up this product.
That's awesome.
And that's how I ended up where I am today, but still with this burning desire to help struggling readers who just can't seem to know the joy of reading a good book.
Yeah, yeah. And it's heartbreaking. So too, that they, you know, you want that for your child. You want them to be in, to be able to enjoy that literature, and at least at some level. And, you know, as you were talking, it, the thoughts came to mind that, you know, their viewers and our listeners, maybe they have younger children, that, or maybe they have a child who's at this level and they're just going, yeah, I've seen that. But even younger children where you see them starting this process, that they're kind of frustrated in their reading, not wanting them to get to the point where they become so frustrated that they just say, I can't do it anymore. It's just too hard. So thank you for sharing your story, because it lets people know that they are not alone.
Absolutely not. And Peggy, you bring up such a good point, because the way to learn to read, this will sound silly, is to read. and the more you do it, the better you get at it. And you're not going to want to do something that is painful for you. You're not going to want to do something that is hard. You're not going to want to do something that doesn't bring you joy.
Right.
And if you're not motivated to pick up a book, you're simply not going to ever be able to improve at it. No matter how many different reading programs, Wilson or Orton Gillingham or whatever anybody wants to say works, it doesn't work unless your child wants to do it. I mean, I bet there are many parents out there who can recount that when their children discovered Harry Potter. All of a sudden, they picked up a book and they sped through all seven volumes of it. And what a joy that was. And then when they were finished, they stopped reading. But it illustrates that point of how when they are motivated, they will do it. And so what we have to do is create more products for them that will motivate them to read.
That's true. Yeah. One of our viewers said that she recommends comics, graphic novels, manga for struggling readers. They can tell complex stories and are good for visual learners. I know a lot of people in our community use those. And I know Maria, I've actually been able to look at her product. She let me review it for free. And it's more interactive, which I really loved, because I found too, when working with like our intern, that I need to stop and we need to have a conversation even in the middle, because he may forget, even though I make videos, instructional videos for him on how to do things, and I give him step-by-step instructions, that check. Did you really catch all of that?
And go back.
Is so important.
Absolutely. It's an interesting point, too. I have a number of people suggest graphic novels to me, and I know that there are people who have great success with them.
Mm-hmm.
What I have found with the readers that I've encountered, including my daughter, is that they have a somewhat frenzied format for her. You know, we have these panels on a page, and sometimes there are 6 to 8 panels on a page.
Mm-hmm.
And in every panel, there's dialogue, and sometimes there's a little bit of narration on the panel.
Mm-hmm.
I found that my daughter had trouble following it, that it was just too much input for her. I think that and certainly I appreciate the person who commented, I think that the theory is correct to put the pictures and the words together. I just think in a lot of graphic novels, it's too much of a good thing.
Well, I've seen the difference. So if you have a student who has a higher IQ that is good with sequencing and is able to, you know, and really maybe dyslexia is their only issue, that they just can't picture the words, but they have the ability to do everything else, that is a good solution. Because my middle son is that way. I mean, he can read, you know, captions for 2.5-hour video, but he can't read a textbook with just white paper and words.
Right.
But I have adopted siblings who all have fetal alcohol syndrome, and they all have sequencing issues, and they cannot track those books either. So it has to do a lot with the mental capacity as well as the reading, I think.
The type of disability, you know, we know as educators that every student learns differently, and certainly every student with a disability has a different disability. No two of them are ever the same. And so what we try to do is we try to adapt the products that we make available to answer as many of the issues that they may have.
Yeah.
With reading per se.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good point. So Karasu, I love your suggestions. And also you said something about light novels are a good choice. And yes, if your student progresses, I think Maria would agree that those are some great options.
Absolutely.
And even the ones that are high interest, low readability, those types of books are good too. Learners.
Yes, they are. They are very good. And as a matter of fact, I have used one or two of them with my daughter because they're starting to illustrate them just a little bit. I had taken her to see A Midsummer Night's Dream, which is one of Shakespeare's most hilarious plays.
Right.
She wouldn't have had a clue how to follow this.
Exactly.
I got her the high-low reader of mm-hmm. Midsummer Night's Dream. And in fact, by one of your sponsors, Saddleback Publishing,
yes,
does produce
highly recommend them.
Mm-hmm. books. And we read it ahead of time and we brought the book with us to the play.
Great idea.
Really worked out well, but it was a lot of reinforcement. I mean, we read mm-hmm. it, we watched the pictures, we saw the play, we mm-hmm. talked about it afterwards. And
yeah,
it's a big investment. Mm-hmm. It really is. But worth it, because it ended up to be an enriching experience for it.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love that. Thank you for sharing that story with us. So you have some slides and I'm going to bring those up, but I also want to let our audience know that if there's something that comes up while we're talking and you just have a question or a comment, please do put it in the feed, whether you're watching on Facebook or YouTube, or maybe you're even watching on Twitter. Don't have many viewers there. We're still broadcasting there though. But Maria's going to talk about digital literacy tools for older challenged readers. And so should I just head on to the first slide?
Yeah, right to the first slide. Read Easy is the name of our product. But
And we're going to give you a link.
Some background about this. And as I say, Read Easy and its uniqueness is that you don't have to use this product in school. There's no need for a teacher to make a chart of all the readers and assess their progress and accumulate data, because it's overwhelming enough to do what you have to do when you're teaching, whether you're teaching at home or in school. But to have to track all this information is very, very tough. But Read Easy is a product where you can just say, hey, you want to go read a book? And you just go and you read it the same as you would read anything else. So we're happy about having taken that direction.
Well, that's so nice that you're looking at it from both sides of the coin, not just the student, but also the teacher. I mean, I just had somebody that's in my community group at church, and she's a special ed teacher, and she is just overwhelmed by paperwork because she teaches, 20 special ed students and having to do individual paperwork for each of those. So, that is a much needed thing.
The job of the special ed teacher right now is almost impossible.
Because they're doing it remotely and they're having to do individual consultations. And
But I did think it was important to share why this issue is so critical. It's not just something we can kind of bemoan. This is critical. I don't know if people are aware that there are 32 million adult Americans who cannot read, and 48 million read below a fifth grade level. Wow. And 60 million haven't read a book in this past year.
Well, not that I can truly believe.
And we are not talking about just special ed people.
We are not.
I mean, when, as a matter of fact, the NAEP does, they do assessments every few years. And what's happening is that the numbers are getting worse.
Yeah.
That in 30 states, the numbers have gone up of eighth graders who are not reading at a proficiency level. Mm-hmm. I mean, and you have to think about the implications of that. And you can go on to the next slide and take a look at that.
I will do that.
Because it isn't just the fact that you can't read, which is enough, but 44% of adults who are on the lowest level of literacy live in poverty. Because
so there's a direct correlation.
Literacy, yes, it points to your chances at life success. Literacy. And you can see, if you can't read, you can't do so many things. You say, well, okay, I'm going to go work with my hands. Well, you have to read the direction to be able to build something, or to be able to fix a car, or to be able to, you know, be a plumber. You have to be able to go to a store and read the dimensions and figure out how all of this goes together. Mm-hmm. But 35% of LD students just drop out of high school altogether. And which we know why, because they're experiencing so much failure.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the statistic that really is the most sobering. Over half of LD students want to be unemployed, not underemployed, unemployed. Yeah. So I know just my daughter and her friends, they were prepared for, quote, careers. How many of them, you know, work wiping tables in a diner or bagging in a grocery store? And could really be doing more if they could read, if they had been trained. And how many of those young people just give up and found that they're not employable and so go on disability, stay home or go work and, you know, go to a group home or daycare. And while the day it's not necessary. I think we can expect more of our young people, but what happens, and I'm wondering if any of your listeners can relate to this, is once our young people get to high school, they're just not adorable anymore. You know, they're nice kids, but they're not like when they were in first grade. And people sort of give up on them. And they think, okay, let's place these kids in where we can so that we'll feel decent about where they are. And people run out of patience for them. And they don't want to go the extra mile to teach them the hard things. And I understand it because they're not easy to teach. They're just not.
Yeah. And I've heard stories from parents of their kids just being pushed through the system and not challenged. I remember one mom contacting me after she homeschooled her daughter, but then was forced to actually put her back into school because her ex-husband required it. That's a whole nother story. But yet when work came back from the school, it was not in her daughter's handwriting. And she knew that her daughter could write because it was going to take too long for her daughter to write out the answer. So the aide wrote it for her. And this happens over and over again. I have adopted siblings and my parents finally got so frustrated with the school system. And after they homeschooled, my mom actually had a heart attack. So all my siblings went back into school for a while. And the decline in their learning was so intense because they were older. They just said, we can't do this. No matter how much work it is to homeschool all these kids, we have to make this work because it is detrimental to their future if we leave them in these programs. And so seeing the same thing as you did, Maria, with your daughter.
Yes, absolutely. So, and we don't want them to become unemployed young adults.
Right. Well, they lose their work ethic too. Unfortunately, they're just told, well, you can get disability. Why don't you just go to the community center and spend time with your friends? And, and this is what it's all about. And, and those messages that you try so hard to not teach in your home are taught in the school. Yeah.
Now, if we go on to the next slide, and I don't want to get too depressing about this.
No, I know, but it's reality. So, let's brighten this up.
This is the thing that is probably the most important thing for us to know. It's not enough for us to just feel bad about this and think, oh, well, we need to teach them better. There is something now called it's really just come to the fore in neuroscience. There is a doctor named Norman Doidge, and he wrote a book called The Brain That Changes Itself. And he wrote a follow-up to it also. And he coined a term called neuroplasticity. And neuroplasticity means that your brain continually reorganize itself. And we know this from, you know, those of us who are getting older, their busy crossword puzzles and Sudoku and whatever it is we have to do to keep our brains going. It works this way your whole entire life.
Right.
But what happens when our kids stop reading in middle school?
Yes.
The brain starts pruning off. Because it doesn't use the neural connections, and you can go on to the next slide, that you need to read. And so if we're not using those neural connections, they die off.
Right.
And they're not going to come back. Unless you start using them again, and then they'll have to regrow themselves.
Regrow. Wow. So it's harder than keeping it going.
That's right. So we're talking about adolescence, the starts.
Yes.
So if they give up on reading by middle schools, the brain's reading networks will cease to develop. How sobering is that?
Wow. Yes.
And we as parents are worried enough. My daughter has left brain hemiatrophy. So they think that when she was either in utero or when she was born, she had some kind of stroke, some kind of vascular event. Mm-hmm. And it prevented the left side of her brain from growing. So she has enough brain damage without my worrying.
Right.
Whatever neural connection she has are going to start dying. Mm-hmm. And this is what happens. I mean, a lot of our special needs kids have some kind of neural issues at that
point. Right, just a setback.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And
so the last thing we need is on our own to be more damage.
It's very true.
To the brain.
Yeah.
So this put me, frankly, into a panic about getting my daughter to read again.
I can see,
But, and if you go on to the next page, because there's good news here.
Love that.
Yes. There are studies that have shown that once you intervene with learning disabled children, that you can again change connectivity in their brains. But the sooner you do it, the better. The longer you leave it, the worse. And so that's why.
Isn't it true that as you get older, it does take more effort to develop those neural connections?
Sure.
Yeah.
And if it, you know, there are specific connections that you use for all the functions of reading. And the longer you leave those fallow, the tougher it is going to be to reconnect them.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
So, you know, what we have to do then, as you and I talked about before, is we have to motivate disabled kids to read who find this so difficult. And if we go to the next page, we can talk a little bit about how we can motivate them. And research, and this is backed up by a lot of research, shows that young people, and certainly learning disabled young people, will read a book, more likely read a book, if it's illustrated, if it's interactive, and if it's digital. And the digital thing is recent.
Yeah.
But I think we don't have to be convinced that our kids love to be on their computers and their iPads and their phones and all of that. I mean, they never put them down. And why shouldn't we be taking advantage of that?
That's very true.
Put their books on it. So I think that, you know, what we have to do is to start creating products that are taking advantage of those things. And if we look at the next slide, it shows, and this is sad, there is not one not one digital resource. And I have looked, Peggy, I can't even tell you how hard I have worked to find a resource for my daughter, because I didn't want to create this. I'm an accidental entrepreneur. This was not my plan. There's nothing for her that was digital, that was age appropriate, that was easy enough to understand, and that had pictures. Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe there wasn't one. So that's really why we created Read Easy, and we can go on to the next slide.
Yeah, I'm going to take a break, and we'll hear from our sponsor, and then we'll come back, because we're at about halftime now, and so I don't want to start a new conversation, but boy, that just gives you a life purpose. Right. All right. Well, thank you, Maria. And we'll see you in just about a minute here. And so, audience, I just want you to hold on. And we are going to hear from our sponsor, RightShop. And I want to thank RightShop for sponsoring this episode of Empowering Homeschool Conversations. And this is what they want you to know. They asked, how are homeschooling writing lessons going for you lately? Are there any tears of frustration, long minutes staring at a blank piece of paper because I don't know what to write about? Well, here's the solution, RightShop Curriculum. Finally, a writing program that understands the challenges of teaching writing. RightShop has options for kindergarten all the way through high school with engaging step-by-step lessons. RightShop gives students the necessary building blocks of the writing process so there is zero frustration. And RightShop not only teaches kids how to write, it shows you how to teach, and you'll learn to guide them through the writing process and inspire even the most reluctant writers. Parents rave about the results. Sherry in Florida says, I am so pleased with RightShop. My eighth grader, who was lukewarm about writing and really didn't like write well, is blossoming. Haley in California says, thank you so much for creating RightShop. It's been a pleasure to teach this curriculum, and the results are phenomenal. Our son went from hating writing to asking for more. You can visit RightShop.com to take the placement test and find out at which level best suits your child, tween or teen. With RightShop, teaching writing has never been easier. And I just do want to encourage you to do that placement quiz. The wonderful thing about RightShop is they don't do it by grades. They do it by levels. And what child doesn't want to know that they're behind in reading? They're just moving on to the next book. And so definitely check them out. And thank you, RightShop, for, again, for sponsoring this episode of Empowering Homeschool Conversations. So I am going to bring Maria back, and we are going to continue this conversation. I hope you're enjoying it as much as I am. Thank you just so much, Maria, for breaking it down for us as to why this is such an issue, but the hope that there is a solution. And
there definitely is a solution. And if we can go on to the next slide.
Yeah.
And we can see that, you know, we have created a product, and I'm praying for other products that do the same thing, because it's written with older readers in mind. It allows for personal use, and this is what's critical. So when you're in your homeschooling situations, there are times when you just want to say to your children, let's all just read together and just snuggle up in the corner and just read a book.
Mm-hmm.
Read Easy allows you to do that. We don't have to have anybody working with them. It has text-to-speech. It has pictures for them. At the end of every chapter, it has checks for understanding that they could do by themselves. They get points if they answer the questions. It's a lot of positive feedback for them. And they can do it themselves. And
that's awesome.
And we can go on too.
Well, first of all, I want to let our podcast audience know that your website is spelled read, readeezy.com. So if you can't see the screen and you want to visit this website, that's how you can do it. But also the challenge that Maria just gave you, that if you feel called to help in this mission, contact her, because I know we have a lot of people in this audience, and maybe you're passionate about literacy and helping people, and maybe you have some technology background and you want to help out with this. I just encourage you to get in touch with her. So, yes.
And you know, I want to say too, you don't even need technology background, because you can use a lot of the techniques that ReadEasy uses in your own home with things
that's
that you
awesome.
Have. That you can, and I wanted to make some suggestions before we finish mm-hmm. today about ways that homeschool teachers can use all of these elements to do regular reading in the house without having any product at all.
But I
think we have to keep in mind that no matter what product we create, we want it to be somehow interactive so that we check for understanding and we can see the citations there. There's lots of research that show these things work. Multisensory, yeah. So you want them to be able to hear the story, see the story, touch the story if that's possible, manipulate the story, and all those things with that comprehension. And we can go on to the next slide.
Sure.
Which also, and we want to make sure the stories have pictures. Mm-hmm. And if we can, to have digital content, because again, as we said, this is very, very appealing to, to readers. Now, what I want to say here is, how could anyone as a homeschooling teacher do this with their own kids?
Mm-hmm.
Well, easy enough. You're reading a story before, while you're preparing the story you're reading, you grab pictures that match the story. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And they could be any, you can go on the internet and find anything, a picture of anything you want right now.
Exactly.
So, as you read a paragraph, you hold the picture up or keep your screen on your iPad or your laptop next to you.
Yeah.
Show your children, your students, a picture of what you're reading. Illustrate it yourself. Easy enough to do text-to-speech also. There are a number of products, I don't know if people are aware of them, that actually will, for free, change text to speech. Just Google text-to-speech and you'll come up with a number of products. The other way to do it, which is a little easier, because I find some of those products a little trippy, is, and I used to do this with my kids when they were little, record the book ahead of time.
Yes, I used to do that too.
Yeah.
I have many, many cassette tapes with my voice on them.
And as they're reading, just let them follow along. So you follow along the text as they're hearing the voice. You're seeing the picture next to them, and the picture is digital, so it's appealing to them.
Mm-hmm.
And you've created your own book. Now, is this a lot more work than a regular book? Yes, it is, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the results would be very rewarding, and certainly would be easier for a struggling reader to understand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we can go on to the next page. And this is a picture from ReadEasy. This is one of the illustrations, and you can see that these pictures are animated. That boy is actually sweating in the book. I mean, he really sweats in the book. The story is age appropriate. The text is modified so that the reading level is accessible.
Right.
Does have text to speech, and there are all the questions are gaming type questions, so they're fun to answer. And again, just appealing looking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the big new word is gamification. Everybody's using it. And
well, what we though, and I think it's important to remember this because there's no reason you can't play games with your kids, too, after every chapter of a book you're reading.
Oh, yeah.
But you have to make sure that your game doesn't distract them from the
That's
book.
A very good point. Yes.
So it has to be short enough, to the point enough. And then let's get back to the story.
Because
the story, you want the story to be interesting enough so that
that's what holds their attention, not the game. Right. Exactly.
Give them points, give them rewards, you know. Draw a little, have them each have an avatar and add an accessory to the avatar every time they get points at the
end of the chapter. Right.
Anything to motivate them.
Mm-hmm.
And now we can go on just to show that, in fact, this does work. Go to the next slide. We did a test on the Read Easy beta product, and we tested for comprehension, engagement, and the digital components. And we wanted to know if the students understood the Read Easy chapter that they read. Mm-hmm. Did they enjoy it? Did they like the illustrations and the animations and the interactive questions? Mm-hmm. And was reading on the computer appealing to them? Was it a plus for them?
Mm-hmm.
And we can go on to show that this study that we did was pretty extensive. We studied 88 students from grades ages 11 to 21 in grades 6 to 12. And the reason that we did this is because we know that learning disabled students really cover a span.
Yes.
And in fact, we tested this with learners older than 21 and found that the story was still appealing for them. Huh. So, yeah, we can't really underestimate what and a story that's comprehensible will do for even an older reader. And we used not just three school districts, but they came from different socioeconomic levels. The students were a variety of students, but they were all at least two grade levels below where they should have been.
Mm-hmm.
And we can go on to see some of the results.
Yeah.
We can go past that.
Got ahead of yourself.
Well, go to the next slide. And these were mind-boggling. In comprehension, I can understand what was happening, and I can remember.
Wow, yes.
Look at these numbers. 86%. Mm-hmm. 86%. That's just... it's unheard of.
Hmm.
And then if you go on to the next slide, engagement, 74% said they found the story interesting. And
that's awesome.
That was all, and our last slide was just that we feel that, and the digital components were ranked positively. You can go to the next one too.
Okay.
But the next one talks about the digital components. And look at that. I would rather read on a computer than read on a printed book. Look at that. That's huge. It was fun to read the story on a computer. Look at look at those numbers. So
I guess I'm just old. I love that book in my hands, but our kids just don't anymore. Yeah.
And you know, the funniest thing is Read Easy is not ready for the phone yet. It has to be responsive to be on the phone and that's to be our next.
Because the majority of users are on mobile now. They don't even have laptops and computers.
Mm-hmm. Well, the funniest thing is I could never in a million years imagine reading a book on a phone. Never.
I know.
What's wrong with you, Peggy?
I feel archaic. Whenever I get on an airplane, I pull out my book and my pen and people look at me like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm reading a book. They all got their tablets out. They plug in. They watch a movie. And I was like, oh.
Isn't it the truth? So, and I think our last slide just kind of reiterates that, you know, we feel very strongly that Read Easy and hopefully other products like this can offer this audience product they need and will enjoy. And this is so critical, because my dream for all of this is not, and I say this truly, I wouldn't mind making $1 million, but this is not this is not my plan, not how I started this. My dream is to have a whole library of these books. Mm. And we have our second book already written and illustrated. That should be up on the website, I'd say, by the end of November. Our third book is already conceptualized. And we are trying to get funding to just get as many of these books put together. Our hope is to do, that we start with three types of books. One similar to this first book, which is more fiction that has some social, emotional learning messages.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The second one would be aimed at the workforce trade. So fictional stories of young people who maybe by accident, maybe by design, decide that they didn't really maybe want to go on to a traditional academic path after high school and wanted to pursue a trade.
Yeah.
And maybe expose them to some of the trades that are out there.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Through fictional stories.
Right.
And the third one we're hoping will be biographies of people who overcome difficulties and succeeded. And we're hoping in covering those to get a number of people who had disabilities.
Yeah.
Just so our readers can have some role models.
Yes. Yeah.
But that is the dream. That is the dream. And we're just hoping that, we can garner enough support through funding. We have now have a Read Easy Literacy not-for-profit so that we're accepting donations.
And that's great.
We're looking for, we're writing proposals for grant funding too. Mm-hmm. We're trying to get on Amazon Smile and other places get a little bit of funding here, a little bit of funding there. And every single penny that we make goes towards creating new books.
That's awesome. I love that vision and just how much, the passion that you have behind that, Maria. And I just remember reading your first product when you sent it to me and thinking, yes, this is so important to have listed on our website, because it gives a whole different perspective to reading a book, but it's necessary from all the information you've shared with us from the beginning and the research. It ties in why we see these students start to fail and to fall back, and unfortunately, as parents, we feel like we're so ill equipped that we just back off from it. But I'm glad you encouraged us tonight that this is the time in those years where the struggle starts to happen to just be more creative and to interact even more with our students to help them to get past these struggles and to work through them.
And I'm aware, believe me, how when children special needs children get older, they can present us with a lot of challenges. I mean, they're not easy.
They want to be independent adults, just like their atypical peers, but they struggle even more in that process and that individuality and how do I frame that from when I need mom and dad, yet I really want that independence. And
And it's
the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yes, it's true. And it's very hard for us to let go, too, and send them out. I mean, my daughter's at the point, really, where we're considering some independent living options for her. And that is very scary. That is really scary. So what I'm hoping is that I can encourage people to provide them with enough skills so that when it's time to send them off on their own, that we send them as well equipped as we can send them off. Because they're going to have enough challenges. Let's face it, socially, it's very difficult. I mean, they don't have friends like regularly developing young people have. They have to meet. My daughter meets her friends through Special Olympics. That's her whole group. If she didn't have that, I don't even know who she would hang around with. And I mean, one of the dreams we have for Read Easy someday is to create a Read Easy book club.
That would be so cool.
Wouldn't that? So it would give them a virtual space to talk about the books and talk about the issues that came up. Our first book is about a boy who moves to a new school and misadventures he has. And I remember when we tested this in a classroom of older, multiply disabled young people, one of the girls raised her hand and said, "I know just how that boy feels because I got bullied too, just like
him."
And I thought, what a great conversation starter.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
To have them be able to exchange ideas like that.
Right. And to pull up those things that they would normally not bring into conversations, but to be more vulnerable and to share that.
That's
to realize they're not alone. That is so key.
And now through technology, I think we've all learned what we can create virtually that we never were able to create before. And of course, we do it within a safe environment because we're so vulnerable. But but still, wouldn't that be wonderful to have to talk to each other? Maybe even as their avatar.
Right. Yes. Yeah. I was at a conference in Las Vegas in June, and they were talking about how they're doing VR classrooms where all the students put on the VR stuff and they walk around and they actually are their avatar, and they can sit in the classroom with each other and raise their hand. And it's a little more than I can wrap my head around, but I'm sure it's going to be the way of the future.
Well, the more you do this stuff, I feel like, oh my goodness, am I really still learning this kind of thing at my age? But the things you can do now with artificial intelligence and machine-based learning are amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can get it to work, I mean,
it
can
exactly
really be fun.
Right.
But
yes.
Getting it to work costs money, sadly, everything does. And so that's why we're hoping we can scare up enough funding to really make these books be as enjoyable as possible for whoever might want to read them. And for anyone who wants to see a sample of the book, there is a sample on the website, readeasy.com. If you scroll down to the bottom of the home page, you can see a sample of, I think the first chapter is up there. So it gives you some idea of the story, the illustrations, the animation, and one of the types of chips we're using. That's it.
Perfect. Well, I just want to thank you so much, Maria, for everything you shared. It has been an inspiration. I love the work that you're doing. And Jane commented from Zambia, saying thank you so much for this information and learning from Zambia. So thanks for joining us, Jane. And I know we've had quite a few viewers on. I've seen some heart emojis pop up there too. So yeah, thank you just for sharing your heart with us, this passion that you have, and the hope that, you know, our struggling readers can learn to read. We just have to sometimes be a little more creative and out of the box. But I love the research that you shared with us, because that's so important. Sometimes we think we're just guessing as to what's going to work. And you have a proven model. You've just shown it to us. And
well, and I just want to say, too, to your viewers and listeners, that we are never alone. All of us special needs parents have got to stick together.
Yes.
I have learned every important thing I have learned about special education from him.
I learn something new every week on this broadcast.
That's
right. You know, it's just amazing. Yes, and it's amazing. Yes, all these stories. And, you know, the majority of my guests have been parents who then followed that passion to help more people who struggled like their own children. And just like me, I mean, that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. Otherwise, I would have gone back to my job as an engineer. But I'm here instead.
What motivates us more than our children, right?
Yes, so true, so true. And, you know, Maria was talking about community, and I just want to encourage all of you. We have a brand new community that we just launched this week on the Empowered Homeschool Network. If you go to empoweredhomeschool.org, you can sign up to be in our parent group. And also that's the free option. There is a paid $5 a month group that is a mentoring coaching group that is run by two of our team members who are ex-special ed teachers. One's a diagnostician, and they are amazing. It's Dawn and Amy, and you get access to them unlimited in that group. And they're going to be doing some webinars coming up very soon too. They just have to give me the dates. So watch for that on there as well. And then there's some courses on there too. We've launched earlier this summer, actually. We launched the Homeschooling Your Struggling Learner Through High School Masterclass. And actually, if you signed up for watching this, you got 10% off, or at least an offer. So if you sign up for next week's broadcast, you'll get an offer to get 10% off of that as well. So anyways, that, and then we have some of our other partners are going to be adding courses and content on there too. So that's a new place to look for things. But then you can also find resources like Maria's, and Maria is one of our amazing SPED homeschool partners that's listed on our website at spedhomeschool.com. And she's on the reading page for, if you look for reading curriculum, you can find Read Easy there, along with Saddleback Books, which you also talked about, the high-low readers, and lots of other things that can help you out. And our number one special needs homeschooling blog that we just got voted for recently. So lots of things on there. And this month we are focusing, like I said, on dyslexia, dysgraphia, dyscalculia, kind of all those disses and everything associated around there. We have one more question, Maria, that I would just want to throw up Creative Minds Homeschooling says, is this more for teens or is it good for younger kids?
I would say it can be from anywhere from middle school, even fifth grade, up all the way through teens.
So what about, you know, the techniques that you talked about earlier and adding the visuals and the digital? Could you do that for any age child?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. I think that you'll find more of them built into books for younger kids. It's as they start.
Yes, that is so true. Yes.
More, you know, so you have to start doing your own version of them at home. But
right.
I would say this book has worked for, I would say fifth grade all the way up through students in their 20s.
Yeah, great. So Creative Minds Homeschooling, I do recommend you go back and watch this video once it republishes on YouTube, because Maria went through a lot of statistics and research as to why the different techniques that she talked about work. And so, like she said, you're going to find it in a lot of content written for younger kids. It's just the, we were stressing more that the teens, because it doesn't exist as much except for her product. So, yeah. Well, keep up the good work, Maria. Thanks. I just applaud you for all that you're doing. And thank you for joining me for while you're on a trip, not even at home.
I want to just say how much I admire what you're doing too.
Thank you.
Spreading the word about how we can make our children's life success more reachable.
Yes. Yeah. Every little thing helps. And the more that we share, the more we learn, and the more our kids grow and reach the where they need to go. So little by little. So thank you all for joining us on Powering Homeschool Conversations. I want to thank again, Write Shop, for sponsoring this episode of Empowering Homeschool Conversations. You can check them out at writeshop.com, and also check out empoweredhomeschool.org, our new sister website, and spedhomeschool.com, where you're going to find all that same stuff that you've been getting information from for a while now. Next week, our focus is on dysgraphia, and the title is Dysgraphia. What is it anyways? And we have an expert on, she's actually written a whole book on dysgraphia, which I was telling Maria, I have to read before next week. So I'm going to be doing my homework and learning more about dysgraphia as well, and be excited to share that with you. Well, I will be on the road in Orlando right before I speak at the Special Needs Conference in Orlando. And if you are anywhere near Orlando or Florida, I would encourage you to look up FPEA.com. That's the Florida Parent Education Association. They are doing a special needs conference the 15th and 16th. I'm going to be keynoting that conference. Super excited. I've got a couple new talks I have not given yet. The first one, the keynote is called Doing It Scared, Special Needs Homeschooling Style. And I know some of you know from listening to my show that I do aerial silks. And I'm going to be doing an aerial silks performance as part of my keynote, so that I've been preparing. So that's going to be lots of fun, and talk a little bit about how you do life scared and you just homeschool through it and just trust that God's got it all worked out. So anyways, so I hope you'll see you in person in Florida. But I'll be here next week on this show, and hope you see you there as well. So thanks again, Maria. It was a pleasure. Thank you all for joining us. And we'll see you again next week right here on Empowering Homeschool Conversations.
Hi, I'm Zach.
And I'm Randy.
And we're from Salty Saints Podcast. We're a theology and apologetics podcast.
We hope to better equip you to be salt and light for your community. We hope that we can help you to go out and be a reflection of Jesus Christ to those around you, to your friends and your family, and especially to those that do not know Christ.
To find out more, subscribe at lifeaudio.com.